It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time on RBN Network from Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios in BEA, beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Now, here in Phoenix, Arizona, today we had planned on Stephen being in studio. We got him by phone because. So what we're going to do is Stephen Lemons is a columnist with the Phoenix New Times, which I'm sure you guys probably have a similar publication in your area. What happens is there's all different perspectives that are available. And the Phoenix New Times is a, I would say, Democrat, progressive, left. It's a weekly publication. I remember at one time they claimed readership of over 500,000. Now, of course, they probably only produced 100,000 copies, but, their friends read it or something like that. But because I know all the stats, and I used to own a restaurant and advertise there, and so I get it, okay? Now, what happens is that the Phoenix New Times, they are the politically, I would say that they are heavily critical of the right. They're heavily critical of government not doing enough of what they want. Then you have, like, the Arizona Republic is pretty much the same thing, but they want to use, Republican corporate benefit to get whatever they want, So it's always about social and economic engineering of people to accomplish whatever. Now, Mr. Lemons is a regular weekly columnist, and he goes by The Bird or The Feathered Bastard. So, and you'll see him at a lot of different functions. We've had just yesterday or day before, there was a YouTube up of a conversation he had with Thomas. A lot of us know us as Morpheus, the sales manager here, and some of the other guys. And in the paper, he's been very critical of a lot of things that we do. And we're going to see if we have any common ground here. We're going to look for the common ground. We're going to find definitions of words that we can agree on, and we'll define our terms first. That's very important. First, when we say words, what do they mean? And then we'll see who fits that definition. So let's go ahead and welcome Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Ernie. How you doing, man? Sorry I couldn't be there in person.
I think it would have been more fun than you can imagine, and we were looking forward to you coming. Heck, we were going out on the boat to the lake today. We were going to invite you to come. You can't come now.
Oh, shoot.
Because. Dang it.
Oh.
Now this is what we're. Yeah, that would have been a grilling. You had you captive on a little boat in the lake. Yeah, that would be.
You guys will tie me up and
throw you over.
Convert me into a truther.
Okay, now this is, okay, well, first, before we even get to all the opinions on left and right, this is a very short segment. We only got about another 45 seconds, but I just want you to introduce yourself and describe the publication that you write for.
I've written for the New Times for about 6 years. Prior to that, I was a freelancer. The New Times is an alternative publication. It's been around for, decades. It started off here in Phoenix and then ended up, branching out. They ended up buying other papers, the two guys who own it. It's still independently owned, by two main guys. Jim Larkin and Mike Lacy.
And when we come back, we'll talk about what are their mission. What are they hoping to accomplish? Why in the heck do they got the feathered bastard on? We'll be right back here and declare your independence in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day on the weekdays here and from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios. On the line we have Stephen Lemons. Now, Stephen is a writer with the progressive left. He's going to tell us what it is on Phoenix New Times here in the Valley. He's been around a long time. You want to know where to get a stereo installed? That's where you go. Okay, you want to know where the escort services are? That's where you go. You want to know where I can get massaged a long time? Yeah, that's where you go. Okay.
I thought the libertarians are all for
absolutely. I'm giving you a plug, man. That's where
all
you
right.
go.
Okay, I thought they were all for massages.
I'm all over it. Okay? So the thing is that this is where you go. So you're gonna be around. You're gonna have libertarians reading you. That's just the way it is. Now the thing is that let's go ahead. Okay. I get this question a lot, and I'll preface this for you so you understand where I'm going.
Yeah.
They'll say, why are these people so fill-in-the-blank, okay? And I go, the thing is that I'm sure you freelance, you wrote, you did some contributions for the paper, they saw you somewhere else or whatever, and they go, that's kind of the stuff that we want, and we'll put, come on over here. So it's who makes that decision? Who says, come on over here? You have different people at all newspapers and media and the talking heads and the cable, and, sometimes they want them firing brimstone, banging on the table, some they go after, whatever. It is a flavor of someone. They don't have to make you that way. They go and find you that way, bring you over to their publication and say, go forth, have a nice day. Who are these people that do that? What is their mindset? So you have these two publishers that, by the way, went to jail because they wouldn't give up information to Sheriff Arpaio because they published some private information. Well, it's public information, but he's just vindictive, go after him. And then they dropped a lawsuit against them. What was up with that? I mean, I'm ready to, tout them, yeehaw, go get Arpaio. And they stopped the lawsuit. What was that about?
Well, it's not stopped. It's still ongoing. I don't know all the details of the lawsuit. You'd have to, talk to our lawyer about that. But
yeah, bring the boy on. Let's talk about
it.
Yeah,
I know. He hasn't been completely dropped. And there was one part of it, which I guess got ruled against, and this has been many months ago, but it gets so complex that I don't even...
Well, the bottom line was this. A Sheriff Arpaio didn't like some of the information that they were giving out, and you have been very critical of him, and all a lot of stuff that he does. And all of a sudden, they're like, we don't like the New Times. And eventually, they went and arrested the two publishers.
In the middle of the night with unmarked cars and...
Because they could.
Because they could, yeah. I mean, the sheriff's pretty much the king in this county, He can do whatever the hell he wants. I mean, not because I like it that way, just because it is that way, But, explain a little further, what they wanted, they had a subpoena where they were going after the IP addresses of everyone who had visited New Times' website. That is what they wanted. This was all under the cover of a grand jury. And so what my bosses did is they broke grand jury secrecy. They said, screw this. We're going to say what's going on because it's dirty. And when they did that, that's when the sheriffs went after them.
Right. Now, they go to the PS and said, look, we have the sheriff's department. Now they're going through this process. They got, the guy with the uniform and the shiny badge and the nice hat and the gun and a little boss piece of paper on a clipboard. And they showed up and they said, every single person that has gone to your website and read these stories, we want to know who they are.
Exactly.
And they go, okay, well, they didn't deny, you got your shiny piece of paper, but I tell you what, we're going to tell everybody what you're doing. And they went, oh, hell no, you can't do that. And they go, all right, arrest us. Let's go. Let's play. Let's rock. And then the battle begins. Here we go. Then they kind of got the lawyers going, yeah, we know where this is going, but maybe we don't want to play this game because it'll bring down the entire system. This whole concept of what is a legitimate order from the government, and then you got the First Amendment rights of and the privacy of the, this is a battle I wanted to have.
Yeah. And well, they dropped. Well, that's what that is. And essentially, what happened was, I mean, the reaction, the outpouring of vitriol towards the sheriff's department and the county attorney was so large that the county attorney dropped the case less than 24 hours after my bosses were arrested. So it was a victory. I mean, and currently there, from my understanding, the lawsuit is still going on. There's a lawsuit against the sheriff and the county, et cetera. But, and for that reason, the sheriff's blocks all New Times employees from attending their press conferences. Yeah, you know, so we can't
big loss. Yeah.
Well, you know, it would be nice to get in there and ask him some pointed questions, you know, but that's what they don't want. So it's, they use it as an excuse. So we have to
for years. I mean, he's been in there since what? 92.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's always been you can't get access to information. You can't get, you know, it's illegal, all kinds of stuff goes on. So I'm just like, I get it. You know, I see maybe you're on the same boat as I am. I love having Arpaio there. He's like a great neon flashing example of what you don't want.
Yeah, I don't know if I go that far. I mean, it would be better if someone who was, you know, a little more legitimate and had a little more concern about the rights of individuals there.
It's government. None of them do. You know, I'm just, well, if you're gonna have a bad guy, have a bad guy.
Well, see, that's why I think there are gradations of gray. I agree with you that in general that, you know, the heavy hand of the state, I don't want it. But on the other hand, you know, we're going to have it. You know, I don't think that, I mean, you go like 200 years with it, it's not going away, you know. So I would rather, to me, it's like, okay, as a compromise, I would rather have, someone like Dan Savin or someone else, you know, who's just, you know, I know is going to be more, is not going to be, you know, violating people's civil rights willy-nilly. Well, and that's not to say that they won't, people won't have their rights violated, but, you know, or that there is any perfect, you know, Pontius Pilate out there, you know, but, you know, Arpaio is a particularly bad character, bad player.
Well, this you're talking, you know, to an audience that is, you know, probably at least 180 degrees from you. If they could be more, they would. The, you have this audience, Arpaio, I thought he was a good guy. He's tough on criminals. He's, you know, he's my kind of guy, toughest sheriff. And, you know, they read all the propaganda that goes nationally. What you don't know is what we know. And I know Joe well, and this is, and he and I are on friends. Friendly terms and everything, but I understand what he is, and he knows I know. I'm like, you're the most dangerous guy in this state. Yeah, you know, he threatens he's going to run for governor or something. No, he's not. Give up the badge. What, are you kidding me?
I agree with you. So, he's not going to run for governor.
Heck no. He never. It's just, you know, and whoever he endorses most of the time loses. But what happens is he is ex-DEA, okay? I mean, this is a guy big-time fed. And when they come in, you got Janet Napolitano, you know, comes into Arizona. You got Arpaio from the DEA. Janet Napolitano from, you know, becomes a U.S. assistant attorney and does all kinds of, you know, like Viper militia prosecutions and lie and cheat and steal and all kinds of stuff that goes on. And then you have other guys from around the country. You got presidential candidate McCain from here. Why Arizona? Why is there so much focus on Arizona? Because Arizona's corrupt as hell. New Jersey ain't got nothing on us.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that on your website you had posted a couple of really good books about Arizona. Well, first, I think you had the Arizona Project, and then you also had...
What's in it for me?
Yeah, I know, the Cedeno book, which is great, because anyone reads that, they're going to... I think it's like a primer for Arizona politics. They should read that and know exactly what the place is about. It lures a lot of people in. I mean, I've become acclimated to it, and there's a lot of stuff to write about here, so, I mean, I shouldn't gripe too much. And the corruption that you're indicating is, like, that's what I feed off of, you know, to a certain degree.
But,
I mean,
you know, this is where you and I overlap. You know, we have a good juicy story is a good juicy story. Okay?
Absolutely, yeah. So
but the thing is that your solution is always so jacked up. You know what we need to do? We need to put another guy behind that lever of power and give him a really big lever.
So no, I disagree with that. I don't agree. But see, I think that there are more responsible law enforcement officers. I think there are more responsible politicians. And, you know, I agree that to some degree, you're correct. You know, there is an element of truth in saying they're all bad. But There are responsible people, more responsible people than Sheriff Joe. I mean, you yourself admit the guy is the most dangerous guy in the state. And why is he the most dangerous guy in the state? Because he abuses his authority to such a degree. I mean, and he's been in power for so long, and he's entrenched. So you yourself are kind of admitting that, yeah, he is worse than most, you know, and it would be nice if, you know, he was... not reelected, though. I don't think that's not good.
You know,
I think the guy will be reelected.
I'll give you a perfect example. Ever. This is my example. I remember, Charles Goyette. You know, I produced for him for a long time. Great talk show. You hear his voice on the rejoiners and stuff. Yeah. And he'll start broadcasting, doing some stuff from here. But his new book's coming out and everything, so he's doing well. But what he always focused on, and he and I would have this discussion back and forth, is that he would focus on the individuals, just like you do. It's Arpaio. He was all over Rumsfeld, okay? Rumsfeld. You know, Feith and Wolfowitz. I mean, Rumsfeld. And I'm going, what happens when he's gone? What happens when they put the next guy in? They get Gates in there. Obama kept him. I mean, you know, I'm going, wait a minute. He keeps the Secretary of Defense, you know, from Bush, and he's supposed to be anti-war, and they're expanding it more into a new country, Pakistan, and want 45,000 more troops going to Afghanistan. What happened to the anti-war movement? So I'm going, you know, I go, if you focus on individuals and they replace them, you're left with the same thing. It's not you. It's a principle of the thing. It's the power that they have to abuse.
Well, and there's always going to be power to abuse. Unfortunately, I mean, even if we all ran off and lived in a cave somewhere.
No, that's it. See, you've already given up.
No, I haven't given up. I don't think that's the answer to go run off and live in a cave. You know.
No, I just want to reduce their power, increase mine, and the internet has done that. And we're going to talk about it more when we come back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and the feathered bastard, Stephen Lemons. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Oh, and the man's coming. He's coming around. He's visiting us all. It's like he's like Santa Claus. You know, he visits all little children's. Now, you know, the one thing that I wanted to make sure that we got to, Stephen, was let's put the Wayback Machine on. And tell me, what was it that prompted the New Times to include you on staff? I mean, they're going, ooh, we like Stephen because fill in the blank.
I know, it's pretty haphazard. Basically, what happened was I was working for New Times had a paper in L.A. They own the L.A. Weekly now, but at the time that I was freelancing for the company, they had a paper called the New Times L.A. So I freelanced for them for a number of years and. Well, not a number, a couple of years, and then got to know the people there and got to know the editor. And when that paper went under, the editor, Rick Barrs, came out to Arizona. They gave him the job as editor out here, and he tried to, because, you know, he liked what I did and wanted to get me on staff, and they tried to get me on staff once, and I came out, and I wasn't sure, and then they tried again another year, and I decided, okay, I'll give it a shot. So that's pretty much the way it happened. It's a lot more haphazard, really.
You're there. They put another one up. Yeah, what the heck? We'll just keep and go ahead and keep writing. Now, the thing is, though, is that your job, you see, is what? I mean, you know, I'll be honest. You know, I don't read your stuff that much. And it's just, it's not because of anything other than, you know, I already get it. I know what these guys are, and back in your talk, you know, and sometimes it'll be some new information you'll get. I used to, John Doherty?
John Doherty, yeah.
You know, we used to put him on the radio a lot. Charles and I had him on. He was always, man, he was really on, you know, government's butt and a lot of different stuff. So we promoted him a lot because he had a lot of really long, in-depth, you know, research on things and people's happening. Yours is more like like a gossip column. It's more, I was there, I talked to these people, they said, he said, you know, what's up? And that's entertaining for a lot of people. You know, there's always room for that. And, you know, people, you have a lot of fans are really looking forward to this interview. So I have to, so that they're satisfied, and I am, and all your people, just to give you the opportunity to go, my column is to what? Entertain, to inform, to do both, to agenda. What is it that you feel your column is for?
To fuck with people.
Oh, he said naughty word.
Well, you're not. We're not on the air. Come on. I mean, you know.
No,
That's my purpose.
Well, you do got to be careful. No, we are on a network that's broadcast on.
Oh, okay.
On
well,
affiliates.
Then, to mess with people.
Yeah, we're FCC'd, man. I graduated to that at least. But the,
you know, what? So, you're kowtowing to the government, Ernie?
No, I'm just trying to keep I'm trying to keep my broadcaster off.
You
on
of
the
all
air.
People, I can't believe it.
Oh, give me some Howard Stern freedom, man. It'll get ugly. You know, the thing is that I want to make sure that people understand, you know, your position. You know, you want to screw with them because, you know, it's entertainment. You're sharing some information. You're getting at nuggets of truth that you normally wouldn't. I mean, what?
Put it this way, I believe that certain people deserve verbal punishment.
Oh, okay. So it's a retribution, justice, vindictive kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, like, I'm sure that you do kind of the same thing with your website, and you know, I mean, you have certain targets you enjoy the lampoon and so forth. So
philosophy, I'm telling you, it is. Well, I have a lot of editors; they get to do what they want. I don't really care. But now, as long as you know, nobody speaks for Freedom's Phoenix except me and Pal Gamble, the senior editor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everybody, they do all kinds. Oh, I can't believe you had that up. And then 180 degrees is another opinion over here. I got my residents, socialists, communists, neocons. Let them go. Because what happens is from that diversity, they bring all their fans over, like yours. You know, you're saying Freedom's Phoenix a lot. You know, I got a bunch of your guys coming over to start reading Freedom's Phoenix, and they go, oh, I get it, you know. So, bring them on. That was the whole point of why we structured it that way, is so supporters of the people that we allow to participate on there and talk about come over and they get to make up their own mind.
Well,
so,
but don't you say, wouldn't you say there's a certain editorial slant to Freedom's Phoenix?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
In the graphic. You know,
yeah, I mean, you have a certain agenda. I mean, it's like it's your
freedom.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Freedom.
But you have a well, you know, your definition of freedom.
Absolutely, my definition: freedom,
yeah,
good,
exactly.
Good, and bad.
Well, that's I think that's wildly simplistic.
I know.
Individuals can be evil too. You know?
I'm a bumper sticker kind of guy. You know, the thing is that, you know, government attracts those guys. Of course, there's bad guys. Where do they go? In government.
No,
they're parasites.
There's some bad guys out of government too.
That know? Use government.
Well, not always. I mean, I think if
like
there,
who?
There are. Well, I mean, for instance, I mean, if you want to give an example, I
please.
Mean, I don't, as far as I know, Stephen Anderson doesn't work for the government.
Oh, but he's definitely making use of it.
He may be, yeah, I don't know.
He's getting all kinds of attention.
He's got the tax write-off, I guess, which is called the church.
Yeah, so there's always...
How do you guys feel about that? I mean, do you think that the churches should have, like, a tax write-off like that? Because you don't believe in taxes at all. So.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, they're some kind of protected... And, you know, I don't think it should tax anybody, so problem solves, like a trick question, you know?
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll talk about that, because I want to get into this, you know, what kind of slant do we have and perceived by you? Because you definitely got a perception, and it bothers you no end. We'll talk about it when we come back in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back here on Declare Your Independence, even though the network owner's upset. You got to help me out, Stephen, man. Yeah, we are under FCC regulation. It's broadcast. You know, we're internet and archived and all that stuff. But it's also transmitted to affiliates. So, we got to play the game, okay? So,
okay.
So
I can't believe this. You're buckling into the government.
It's, you know, I'm, you know, when I get large enough, I'll play Howard Stern. We'll have some fun with it.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Bring it on.
I'll try to keep it clean for the kids.
Thank you. The thing that I want to make sure that we go into is that there is a flavor. You know, mine, you know, freedom's the answer. What's the question? That's where I come at. And part of that freedom is people, you know, that have alternative views, such as yourself, you know, knock yourself out. We put your stuff up all the time. There's guys that put it up there, but it kind of has a different effect than what you probably think. From our audience, which is a lot of progressives and people that may like what you do, there's a lot of people that going, wow, man, really? They say this stuff? They have this opinion? They're going, yeah, you know, this is, you know, just, you know, get used to this is what's out there. So we use it, the site, as just to be fully informed rather than pushing one agenda. But our agenda is freedom. Our agenda is freedom of expression. It's the rebirth of freedom. Freedom's phoenix from the ashes of liberty's torch kind of thing. That's where the logo comes from.
But, you know, the thing is, like, there are different, I mean, you have a particular take on libertarianism. I mean, there are libertarians who disagree with elements of what you. You guys aren't Reason Magazine, is what I'm saying. I mean, it's like
isn't, you know, pure libertarian either. You know, so
well, I don't know if you guys are pure libertarian on immigration.
Well, it depends who you ask. I know what libertarianism is. You know, libertarianism, see, the Libertarian Party, a lot of people don't understand. The Libertarian Party is a side effect of the philosophy, not the other way around. You know,
but I'm talking about the free flow of people and goods and services. So, I mean, do you believe in that?
Yeah. No, we're like...
You have no problem with as many Mexicans coming to Arizona as
only government complains about more customers.
Okay.
So my thing is that I'm like, you know, if you do away with the welfare state and the warfare state, this immigration problem is not a problem. They get free access to, you know, public school and medicine, this and that and everything. I'm going, why are we giving it to anyone? That's where you and I differ. You would go, well, yeah, they should have it. We should have it. Everybody should have health care, and we should have this and libraries and roads and government.
Yeah, I got no problem with it.
I know. And see, but, you know, I can be consistent on being open society because I don't want anybody ripping me off. I don't care what their card they got in their wallet. Heck, I prefer they not have a card.
Well, you're definitely an idealist, I would say, because, you know, you're a dreamer, Ernie. I like that about you.
Yeah, you mean like those guys that kind of did that Declaration of Independence, declare your independence.
Well, if you can make it happen, man, you know.
Well, you can't make it happen without advocating it. You can't make it happen.
Even the Founding Fathers created a new government. I mean, you know.
No, they didn't.
What do you think the Constitution is?
No, it has a decade that had nothing to do with the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence
didn't I said the Constitution, though.
No,
you said the Founding Fathers weren't involved in the creation of the Constitution.
No, only a couple of them that
Okay.
That had anything to do with the Declaration of Independence.
Thomas Jefferson?
No, he was in France.
Yeah, well, but
Patrick Henry spoke for 4 hours. Patrick Henry, give me liberty, give me death for four hours.
Right.
For 4 hours as governor of Virginia to the state legislature, saying, "Do not ratify this Constitution." And when you put the power and the focus of the executive, legislative, and judicial against the rights of the individual, you'll find yourself in a free speech zone.
Well, this is where it's an interesting conflict because you guys, let me finish. You guys are big Ron Paul supporters, and Ron Paul is a strict constitutionalist.
And he's a Republican.
Like, pick a lane, man.
He's a Republican. He's a Republican.
So why do you support him?
He's a Republican. Because he supports at least this concept. If you're going to have this gun to my head to put me into this social contract that I never signed, you better live by your side of the contract, which was the libertarians of the day, the anti-federalists, the Thomas Paines, the Patrick Henrys, the Jefferson. These guys were saying, look, don't give it. The Constitution is about the power, the power, the power. We need to have the Bill of Rights. That was immediately.
Exactly.
The deal. That was the deal. That was the compromise. The last compromise that libertarians made. Okay, well, let you have this little, you know, plan of how you're going to organize this government thing, but here's all the 10 thou shalt nots of government. Here's all the stuff you can't do. And when they constantly violate every single one of those amendments every single day. At what point is this contract that you keep talking about and supporting, you want to use, when is that null and void? When is that over? Is it over?
The thing is, like, you know, you can't have it both ways. If you want to live in a society, period, okay, with other human beings, we're going to have some agreements about how we're going to transact business, how we're going to, you know, get along with each other so we don't kill each other.
What's the question?
No, exactly. So the thing is, like, if you yourself, Ernie, are making compromises every day. You make a compromise to be on the radio. You make a compromise when you support Ron Paul.
But I'll never advocate using government force, coercive government to bring about, and I'll never advocate that. I may have to live under it. They go, put a gun to my head, and you better show me your whatever papers. And I'm going, you know, I will make that compromise. But then sometimes you get guys like Pastor Anderson that's out on the Lone Prairie and says, I'm not answering. Boom, they tase you, they bust windows, they beat them up. And so we go,
it does look like Anderson was trying to provoke an incident. Don't you think that was what he was after?
No, he was trying to be left alone.
No, come on.
No, he's been doing this for months. He had YouTube.
Yeah, you said he'd been doing it for months.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. He had been going through the checkpoint. So he was an activist. And hey, look, I admire someone who's willing to get, you know, into that position. But I don't know. You have to ask him. But it seems like he wanted to get into that position, you know, where he could have an incident.
Well,
he's
not alone. I mean, there's a Terry Bressey is a he does Space Watch. He looks for asteroids from Kitt Peak. He's out of the University of Arizona and a good friend, libertarian. And he travels back and forth between Tucson and Kitt Peak through the Tohono O'odham Reservation up there. Yeah. It's like 40 miles north of the border. Yeah. And they put up roadblocks, and it was just a test thing. It was back in December of 2002. I mean, right after 9/11, they knew what they wanted to do. They got all their little equipment up, and their little cherry picker things and armored whatever and pulled it and started and had immigration and DEA and border and sheriff. I mean, all this is going, wow, man, it was a test thing. And he's like, no, I'm not playing. And it went to court. He went to the Ninth Circuit, got it ruled in his favor, on and on and on. So this has been going on. We've been keeping track of this for a long time because it is a goose-stepping, jackbooted march to papers, please, and who is standing up against it? And if you get this radical right-wing Baptist fundamentalist preacher saying, I am not in the system where I'm going to be turning over my stuff, I'm going, amen, brother. Yeah.
Well, I would say amen up to a certain point.
What point?
Wait a second. Let me explain, okay? So I've talked to people in Yuma. Even law enforcement does not like the local law enforcement, even they don't like those checkpoints, okay? That's how unpopular they are. They are wildly unpopular. And they would love for someone to put the spotlight on it. But, you know, what they were telling me was, this guy, this wacko Anderson is turning things in the other direction because it's making it look like people who, you know, are opposed to this are nuts. And the point at which it becomes questionable what Anderson's doing is when he's sitting in his car, okay, and the cops are telling him, look, you're under arrest. Please come out of the car, okay? And he says, no, I'm not going to come out of the car. The car is locked. The windows are up. And so, well, you're under arrest. You're going to have to come out of the car. I mean, now
did they say you are under arrest?
Yes, they did. Well, I don't know. That's what I got from the. You want to play the video back? That's the video that he has up. Because he's asking him, am I under arrest? And the guy says, yes, you are under arrest. And he says, why am I under arrest? And the guy tells him, this is why you're under arrest. You know. Now at that point, it becomes this. Then it gets
a point
realm
of adjudication.
Exactly, it becomes a
and
point.
And here
of
we go.
Yeah, and that's where. So.
Oh, check this out, Stephen. I want to get this. This is the kind of government that we're dealing with here. They
Let me finish my thought, though. That basically, at that point, Anderson makes a decision.
Yes, he did.
Okay, and his decision is: well, am I just going to get out of the car peacefully, or am I going to continue to sit here and something bad may happen? Now, I'm against tasers. Period. I mean, I think it's a barbaric instrument, personally, and I don't think law enforcement should have them at all. And I don't necessarily know that he should have been tasered in this incident. But he's got to know when he's sitting in the car like that. Just, I mean, I deal with cops all the time. I'm sure you do too. You know what you're dealing with, you know?
Yes, and boss, whatever you say.
And I think that he, you know, looking at that, my opinion is, I think he wanted something to happen.
You know, I know what? I'll give you a perfect example. I remember back in the early 90s, we used to go down to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum during gun shows. And we would have – what we'd do is we'd go out in the parking lot, and you pay for your $5 parking space. And we get two spaces. And one of them, we, you know, set up a little gypsy booth for, you know, Libertarian Party registration and different initiatives that we'd do. And we called them the gypsy booths. You know, well, somebody else called them. We liked it. So we have all that stuff up. Well, we would have our – sidearms on and so on, and
yeah.
And the it got to the point that we weren't in the facility, we were on public property, so we knew what the law was. It was legal. Well, we have finally one weekend, the attorney general's office comes up, have a girl, she comes up, well, we're, you know, I'm attorney general, and here's my card, and we're gonna, and whatever, and you have to, and I, no, we don't. Yeah, you do. We got, and I go, all right, well, you know, do we, you know, acquiesce, or do we allow them to arrest us? Well, just like Anderson, we're willing to be arrested. Let's get this adjudicated. Let's go find out what the law says. Let's do it. Rock on. Here we go. And they finally, they leave in their golf cart, and they come back, you know, like 5 minutes later. Well, you're lucky, because we're not going to arrest you because we know you want us to. And I'm like, you know, no, we don't want you to arrest us. We want you to leave us alone.
Yeah.
So you're confusing this. You're thinking, you know, being willing to be arrested, willing to go through the system, willing to get your government number, willing to have, you know, a peaceful adjudication of this after they put a gun to your head, you know, in a court of law, in a court of public opinion, willing to do that is not the same as wanting it to happen.
No, I think the reason why I say he had done it several times before, where he'd gone through these checkpoints and he was trying blowing them off, and that's fine. I mean, you know, I mean, maybe he could have gotten away with it indefinitely. Definitely. But knowing the cops, when he's, and I say that's at that point when they say you are under arrest, the jig is up. The same thing with you guys, with the example you're giving. If they had said, okay, you're under arrest, then at that point you're under arrest.
Arrested 94. Janet Reno comes here. I wouldn't put down a sign that says legalize freedom, register libertarian. What I didn't know, I'm 40 yards away, but I'm in the line of sight where the cameras are. They're going to see that over Reno's shoulder, and that so wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So they come and they arrest me.
But did you pull a Ruby Ridge? I mean, you know, you didn't do that. You got arrested. So that's what I'm saying, is that at some point, you know, if you want to, you know, either passively or violently resist, you know, the authorities, you know, hey, you know, that's your choice. But in this case, in Anderson's case, he's got the video running. I think he wanted something he could use, and he got something he could use. There was a lot of sympathy for
him. He
Anderson.
Wanted to be left alone.
I disagree with that.
Oh, dang, Skippy. He travels all the time from California to New Mexico.
But he himself,
and he goes through this constantly. Yeah, of course he was willing to get arrested.
He himself mentioned that he was... He got ticked off because of all these stops, and he became kind of an activist.
Yeah, and
you know,
what
that's cool. That's fine.
Very cool.
All I'm saying is that at some point, if you're dealing with the police and they tell you you're under arrest and you're not going to go willingly, then something's going to happen.
Yep,
okay?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
And I'm not saying it's good.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying
Shelton. You know, that's another thing. This is great. Here's a really good example. Here we have protesting the photo radar, which is video surveillance, really, but these speeding camera tickets, all right?
Yeah,
so they're out there. They have the signs up. Shelton is 4409, a videographer here, is an activist, does a lot of great videos and so on. He's standing on the sidewalk filming the protest. He's the one that gets arrested. Okay, it's always you can't film. We have right now a big thing with the sheriff's department, you know, arresting people that are filming, you know, them doing
little
raid stuff.
Absolutely.
So here we have, but what happened to the New Times? Immediately, the New Times just regurgitated whatever Scottsdale police told them. They just
really.
It's on the archive, man. You ain't gonna be able to lie.
Well,
about it.
I didn't write anything about that particular thing, but maybe Ray Stern wrote about it. I don't remember, but you know, that's another point. It's not monolithic. I mean, like everyone who's in that building pretty much writes from their own, you know, gut, or they're writing from their point of view and looking for the truth in their way. So I don't agree with everything that's written by the New Times. I mean, I know that people, a lot of people in the New Times don't agree with what I write. So, You know, I don't know what Ray specifically wrote about that situation.
It has nothing to do with what he wrote. It's how the mechanism works. They regurgitate, you know, whatever. It's like pressed by government handout. You know,
I mean,
this is what
so.
Happens.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's go ahead.
Then why are we at loggerheads with the sheriff's department? I mean, we certainly aren't. You know, why are my bosses getting arrested? You know, I mean, I do. See, the thing about it is that your theory about the press.
Well, you want to be in the sheriff's press conferences. What are you going to do to get that?
Well, we haven't done anything to get that. In fact, no, we haven't. And I certainly wouldn't. I mean, Arpaio one time, like, jokingly, when I was, you know, hounding him outside of his offices, you know, said, oh, we ought to have, you know, of a meal sometime or something. He said that kind of stuff to me before. And I was like, okay, well, that's great. I'll interview you. No, you can't bring any recording devices. Well, then we're not going to have a conversation. You know, it's tough, you know.
I got so lots of certain Arpaio stories.
There are certain things we don't, you know, compromise on. That's one of them. And I think
Let's go ahead and go. Let's get into this where you don't compromise. I want to start focusing on this, and we're kind of short on time here in this segment. But what I want to do is, as we get into the next hour, and so we'll start to, you know, expand on your criticisms of Freedom's Phoenix, some of the graphics that we use. I mean, boy, it's Obama Nazi everything. God, man, is that?
It seems like it sometimes. That's what you guys are after.
It's the same graphics that used to have Bush's face. We just Photoshop a different one in there. It's the same thing.
I don't remember. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't paying as much attention to you guys.
Are you on a computer right now?
I can be.
You go to Freedom's Phoenix during the break. Okay. To freedomsphoenix.com. At the top, you'll see it says front page archive, whatever. On the archive, it'll drop down and it says contents by subject. Okay, so you go to all the different categories that we have. You go into contents by subject, and you look under Bush administration. Just go take a look at the Bush administration and see how many thousands of articles there are. Take a look at the graphics there. You'll recognize a lot of them. And
I'd be interested to see if you have Bush dressed up like a native tribesman in Africa. That would be an interesting one.
I don't know. Did we have that on Obama?
Yeah, I would regard that as slightly racist.
Maybe. We'll talk about it when we come back in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m., 1 p.m. on the RBN Network, here from beautiful freedomsphoenix.com studios in Phoenix, Arizona. We are on the line with Stephen Lemons from the Phoenix New Times, and he's made a project out of Freedom's Phoenix here of late. I mean, you know, we're always in the news doing something. I mean, there's always something. We got the Pastor Anderson thing. We got, you know, the Taser deal. We have the revolution going on. We have CNN, black men with AR-15s. And we got all kinds of signs. Vaccines equal poison signs and billboards, babies, and it's not my debt.com and all kinds of, you know, where's my check, man? I mean, we keep you in. I mean, you can't go a day without a whole bunch of blogging. You love us long time.
I blog a little bit about it. Not. I mean, you know, I mean, occasionally, you know. But well, I have a question for you. I haven't really heard what your stance is on Anderson calling for Obama's death.
You know, yesterday I had on Heidi Byrick, okay, from the Southern Poverty Law Center. She was on for an hour. We had a nice I've been affiliated. A lot of the people you would think would hate me are a bunch of my friends. You just started finding out. I didn't know you knew this guy and this guy and this guy and this progressive and Air America that and so on. I know all these guys. I've been doing this for a long time, and I'll have them on just like I have you on, and we'll just talk, because I don't try and change your mind. I just want to make sure you understand my perspective. And once you understand where I'm coming from, you know, government action will change your mind. You know, I don't try and change your mind. That'll happen on its own. You know, you have your what you think is truth, and then reality intervenes. I mean, you know, it just always does. So that's why we have these conversations. That's why we get into this. This is my spiel on, and I was explaining it to her because her question was, where did all these right-wing militia guys come from? And I'm going, you assume they ever left. I mean, you know, they're always there. It's just when the media wants to highlight somebody. They always get the guy wearing a floppy camo hat walking in a parade carrying some, you know, sign, you know, with his, you know, polished one tooth. Kind of, well, I'll think that, you know. And they'll focus. I want to get on television. All I got to do is wear a camo hat. Guaranteed freaking tea, man. I'm getting interviewed, you know.
So
you're telling me that's not true?
I went to the tea party down here in Phoenix on the Capitol. And, I mean, you could just, I mean, you know, if you wanted me to randomly pick people out of the crowd, I could. And I can tell you that most of them are going to buy this BS that, you know, Obama equals Hitler. Now, I started having a discussion with one guy about that. He was, I don't know where they get this stuff. Obviously, the educational system it sucks, like you say it does, because they don't have any grasp of world history, what's happened in the last century, the Holocaust, the Germans coming to power, the fact that the Nazis coming to power in Germany, the fact that the Nazis were opposed to the communists. You know, they had this idea. They were the same thing. No, they weren't the same thing. Okay, the ideology was completely different, and actually the reality of Nazi Germany was completely different. I mean, there were capitalists who were allowed to thrive under the Nazi system. That did not happen.
Yeah, Goldman Sachs.
That's funny. That's funny.
No, you're a big giant fish in a little bitty barrel. Okay,
that wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened. And you wouldn't have had, you know, capitalists thriving in communist Russia. So these are two entirely different things, but they've melded in the minds of folks who have apparently no historical education whatsoever.
Oh, Stephen, you just walked out. I was hoping before the end of the first hour, you just made it, man. He was going to ask me if I thought Obama was as fascist and Naziist as Hitler. Well, let me see. We'll talk about it when we come back in the next hour. And it's only a short minute break here, so you just stay right there, man. We're going to talk about, is Obama fascist? I don't know. Let's find out. We'll be back on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.